It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And I really appreciate each and every one of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do that. And I thank you so much for listening. Today's Strive for Excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Strive for excellence, and you were made for this time. Very excited today to have in studio with me Alan Thomas. He is an author, a speaker, and he's written a very important piece, When to Call It Quits. That'll be rolling out in our newsletter this weekend. Alan Thomas, it's always great to have you in studio.
It's always a pleasure to be here, Kim. Thanks for having me.
And each of these things, each of these op-eds that you do really make me think. And you sent this over, and I've been looking at it, and I've been thinking a lot about that. So in segments 3 and 4, we'll talk about this because it's so poignant for what's going on in our society right now. So again, we'll talk about that in segments 3 and 4. And it's Friday. Producer Steve, one of your favorite days of the week.
It is, and I believe yesterday you mentioned looking forward to Friday about you brought up your memories of what Fridays were all about when you were younger and Friday night football games. And man, that just opened a whole can of memories for me.
And what were those?
Well, I was a band geek for 6 years. So obviously there were Friday night games and sometimes they were Saturday night games, but they were always a lot of fun.
They always were a lot of fun. So I think I know the answer. Trombone? Is that right?
How did you know that?
I think one time we talked about that.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure if I should share this with you.
Uh-oh.
But I...
Hold on, Alan. Hold on.
Okay, I also was in marching band, but I was a twirler. I twirled batons.
Ah.
Uh-huh. And actually, I wish that I would have gone out for tennis. I don't think we had a tennis team at that time. But with tennis, if you're working on that, you know, during school, you can now at this age go out and play tennis with people. But I can't go out and twirl batons with anybody. But I spent a lot of time practicing on that. And I'm going to mention a Friday night memory. I actually used to twirl fire batons, if you can believe it. And
well, I bet the grandkids would love to see that.
I bet they would. And so on homecoming was when we would do the fire batons. And
yeah.
So I would...
How are you going to tell the grandkids not to play with fire? Then they see those pictures.
Well, because the next story I'm going to tell you is why you don't do that. And so it was a big deal. I'm from a little town, big deal. Homecoming, we're twirling fire during halftime, and I would soak half of the baton for the whole morning in gas, and then the other half of the baton all afternoon in gas. And so we were ready for homecoming. And unfortunately, I lit my pantyhose on fire. It was a real problem. But I fortunately was able to put it out very quickly, but it was very embarrassing.
Well, my experience was you didn't smart off to the girls in the band front who were baton twirlers because they had a weapon their hand.
They did have a weapon. But anyway, Friday, for some reason, that brings that memory. But I can just, you look out and you see the trees now at this time of year. Homecoming was right around this time of year. I loved it. I loved Fridays. But anyway, Alan Thomas, do you have any Friday memories?
Oh, yeah. Small town, just like you, freezing outside, watching the football game. So... You got to love small town football. It's a lot of fun.
It's something special. And in fact, in my little town, they would paint the windows, at the different stores, and you know, go Cowboys. We were the Cowboys, so just love that. So, Alan, let's get to it though. Our quote for today, and I thought this was very appropriate for your piece, and so I went to Kenny Rogers for our quote for today, and that is from The Gambler. And he said, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run. And I thought that was very appropriate because what we're going to be talking about and what's happening in America today.
Definitely. Yeah, you definitely have to know when to save your money and live for another day.
Yes. So let's talk about, though, this election. If you go to my website, we have published our We the People Voters Guide. And first and foremost, nobody's paid us to do this, or nobody's paid us not to do this. And we have taken a look at each of these issues, and there are three statewide issues. I did break down a tax issue in my town of Lone Tree. There is a 55% sales tax increase proposal. So it's 1.8% to 2.8%. That's 55%. That's a big tax increase. And Alan, you and I both know that the way to increase government revenue is to actually increase the pie, to get government out of the way, get rid of rules, regulations, taxes, fees, unleash the private economy. And that's the way, as that grows, tax receipts go up. But what happens when that happens is bureaucrats, those PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, interested parties, lose their control, lose their power. So that's why you're seeing all of these tax questions on the ballot throughout the our municipalities right now. And there's very few that I would say yes on, because you need to get government out of the way so that the private sector can thrive and flourish. And it's good for everybody.
Oh, and it's always funny how they sell it too, right? Oh, what's an extra 1%? Like, you won't really notice that. You won't really notice a 10-cent bag fee. Like, but the point is, that's not the point, right? Like, the government shouldn't be asking for this in the first place. And why not unleash the economy and help people out by reducing the sales tax and the burden, especially now when inflation is skyrocketing? Mm-hmm. You know, that one extra 1% slowly starts adding up.
And let's just talk a little bit about that, because the proponents of this are saying it's only 1%, but that is another 1% on your purchases. It's actually a 55% increase in the tax rate. And so again, you have to look at the way that they are presenting it. And so if your municipality takes another penny, and then your fire district takes another penny, and then your because the assessment value of your home has gone up, your property taxes are going up. You're not selling that at this time. You have to pay for that. All of those pennies start to add up. And I was thinking about it. When is it enough of how many pennies the government takes from us, Alan?
You just kind of feel like it's the frog sitting in the water, and they're just slowly turning up the heat, and we're asking them to.
Right.
And that's the sad thing about it. Like you said, 1% doesn't sound bad, but a 55% increase, boy, I would like a salary increase of that, you know, to put it into real terms. But it's difficult with these sorts of issues, especially when they sell it. Oh, it's for the kids. Oh, it's for the fire district. You know, these are very necessary things, mm-hmm. but it's very manipulative.
It is very manipulative. And once again, if you really want to increase government revenue, then you unleash the economy. And again, taking personalities out of policy, you look at the Trump economy, and that's what he did. Now, the one thing that they are not getting done, and that is stop the spending, but at least reduced taxes, reduced rules, reduced regulations. And we saw that this unleashed the economy. Unemployment for blacks, Hispanics, women were at all-time lows. Black home ownership was up 6%. Now you go over here, go to the gas pump. Thanks, Biden, right? Now we're looking at inflation. There are small businesses that can't find workers. So this is another assault on small businesses, because if they can't get workers, they can't provide their products or services. And it seems to me, Alan, like there's been this assault on small business people. I mean, we saw it during the COVID-19 reaction disruption. Government came in and said, big box stores, you're essential. Little guy, you're not. How did we get to this, Alan?
Like, we ushered it in ourselves by voting for people that weren't going to stand up and take a stand, you know, and we vote for these small tax increases. We slowly say, oh, yeah, for the common good, you know, for public health and things like this. And we slowly sell ourselves this lie, and we forget the principles and that freedom is difficult, and freedom should be hard. But boy, I'd rather go bankrupt trying to run my own store than have the government come in and shut me down and go bankrupt anyway. Right. So, you know, we've lost the education system. We've lost our civic knowledge and what this republic really is. And we have to slowly start claiming that back, because we have a very, very real example of what happens when we lose that freedom and we when we let these government PBIs tell us what to do. And it's not pretty and it's not easy, and it's going to be hard fighting our way back, but we really have to.
Well, we really must. But there's so many positives, even though we seem like the American idea, there's such an assault on it right now, and it seems somewhat tenuous. As I think about my kids, my grandchildren, the next generations, that was something that is inherent in the American idea, where we think about future generations and to pass something good on to them. My generation, the baby boomers' generation, Alan, I'm really frustrated with us, because what we have done is we are passing on to the next generation right now a big fat IOU that they had no say in. And that is irresponsible. It's against the American idea. I think that we are seeing everything very clearly now, and we're going to have to make some really hard decisions. I'm confident that the American people are going to do that. But it's a tenuous time right now.
And I agree with you. You have to believe that freedom is the natural condition of people, and people naturally gravitate there. It's just the cost of getting there is slowly getting harder and harder, and it's a higher hill to climb, but hopefully we'll reach the top of it and start coasting downhill on some of these wonderful principles and ideas eventually.
Well, and that is why we did our We the People Voters Guide, which is at my website. And there are three statewide questions. And again, we've taken a position on that. I have to say now, I'm a hold my nose yes on Amendment 78, and I am a hold my nose yes on Prop 120. And Amendment 78 is moving the decision-making for custodial funds from basically the Attorney General and the State Treasurer's Office over the State Attorney General over to the legislature, which that seems like that's the place those decisions should be made. But they detabored again the excess revenue and future revenue, and that so I'm a hold my nose yes on that. And I talked to some folks about it, and they said, well, Kim, when the money's over here, it doesn't fall under Tabor, so here, that's why it won't fall under Tabor. I'm like, You wrote it. Why didn't you not put that in there? And then on Prop 120, which is the property tax reduction, that makes sense, although it wasn't a permanent tax reduction. It was only until the next assessment period. And but then the state legislature, they did an end run around it with Senate Bill 21-293. And they basically said if 120 passes, which was a property tax reduction for residential and non-residential, they said on the residential side, it'll only apply to multifamily housing and lodging. And so this is going to end up in the courts if it passes. So again, I'm going to hold my nose yes on that now. And man, I am a no on Prop 119. This is that new marijuana tax for the children. And we've read all 14 pages. And if you go to my website, it's linked there. So you don't have to take my word for it. You can read it. But it puts in place an unelected, unaccountable authority board of 9 members chosen by this governor. They choose their replacements. They have taxing powers. They can accept gifts from organizations, individuals, and other governmental entities. And they choose the vendors for whom then the parents can choose for their after-school program. I have to ask you, what's wrong with that?
I mean, I can't think of a single thing in history that says giving people power, money, and discretion on what to do with things is a bad thing. Can you think of any examples, Kim?
I don't know. And the fact that they're not accountable to the voters, not accountable to the legislature, not accountable to future governors, and not accountable to the Board of Education, what could go wrong with that? And so, my friends, we ask why Colorado got here. This is why we got here. And unfortunately, this campaign is being run by Republican operatives. And so got to take a stand here. Our side has zero. And when we're talking about money, their side, and they have at least probably 1.5 million. And we haven't even seen the most recent tracer reports. So, my friends, this is a grassroots thing to defeat. And we are a strong no on LEAP, which the actual acronym, they're calling it the Learning Enrichment and Academic and Achievement Progress Program, I think it is. But I was at an event the other night, and one of the guys came up to me and he said, it's actually the leftist end run around the people. So, hey, we're going to go to break. Alan Thomas is in studio. Before we do that, though, talking about football, Hooters is a great place to watch the games. They have all kinds of game day specials, and they have dine-in, and they have to-go, and then they've also got a party pack. If you're having friends come over, they have a party pack with wings and all kinds of different things. So be sure and check out my website for all their specials. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com, and all their specials are there. I highly recommend each and every one of those sponsors there. We're going to go to break. Alan Thomas is in studio, and we'll be right back.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who support us. I greatly appreciate that. In studio with me is Alan Thomas. You know him. He's an author. He's a speaker. He's written a very important piece. And that piece is, I've got the title right here, Alan. It is When to Call It Quits. And we'll talk more about that in segments 3 and 4. My friends, as we have realized, these school board races are among some of the most important races in our country. As we've seen concerned parents address school boards across the nation, we've seen really unresponsiveness, almost disdain sometimes for parents. And so we've realized that these races are so important. I have on the line with me two women who are running for a school board in the Brighton School District. That is Adams 27J. And Renee Beach, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. Thanks for having me.
And Ashley Kahn, also, thank you for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, questions. There's questions that people really want to know. The first, and Renee, I'm going to ask you this first, is why? Why are you running for school board?
Well, I'm running for school board for multiple reasons, many, many important reasons, but the ones that stand out the most are I have three young kids in the school district, and I've been concerned about where things are headed, and it seems like the influences on where things are going are coming from places outside even sometimes the school district, and it's just not where I want to see things going for my kids, and there's a lot of other parents who agree. And so for me, I just want to help influence, if I can, a different path for that.
And go ahead.
I just definitely feel like there's a lot of areas to work on for parents because they're not getting to have a voice in things, and I want to help, you know, be that middle person to speak and get their voice out.
Well, and Renee, as I've really thought about the evolution of public education, and I'm a product of a really great classical liberal public education, and we learn things such as reading, writing, arithmetic, critical thinking, science, history, civics, and I actually graduated from high school with the tools to be able to run a business, to run a household, and I think about the evolution of where we've gone. I think people have thought that that's where education has been. We're now looking at results, and our kids are falling behind in these things, reading, writing, arithmetic. And I don't care what side of the political aisle you're on, no parent wants to hear that their child is falling behind. Are you finding that, Renee, when you're out on the campaign trail?
Yeah, I am finding that. Another person who's running, his name's Leon Thornton. He's also been mentioning a lot of statistics about, you know, third graders not reaching reading levels and eighth graders aren't making the levels with just basic math. It seems like we're focusing more on items that are moral than they are educational, and that line is really getting blurred, and our students are falling behind. Our priorities aren't in the right spot with education anymore and what we're educating.
And now that parents have seen this, I'm seeing across the board, people are becoming more and more concerned and more involved. Ashley Kahn, you are also running for school board here in the Brighton School District, Adams 27J. Why have you decided to put your hat in the ring?
Well, basically pretty much the same as Renee said. I'm really concerned. I noticed a huge shift the first day of school this year compared to last year. There's been a big change, and very quickly. I'm in a lot of parent groups in 27J. I speak to a lot of parents all across the district, and we all noticed this the very first week of school for fourth and fifth graders. You know, these are 9-year-olds, right? Basically 9, 10-year-olds. They're learning things that I think teachers have no right to teach them, especially at this young age, especially when our district is falling so behind academically. I think we need to take the focus off of these social issues, off of gender pronouns, and put them into education. These kids need to be learning, okay? They're far too young to be learning about gender pronouns. They're far too young to be wearing gender pronoun name tags to school on the first week of school when they don't even understand what that is at that age. I think we need to get back to the basics because our kids are falling behind. Our district's severely underfunded for many reasons. And I think there's no accountability being held. Nobody's holding our board feet to the fire to make these changes. And I want to do that. I want to be a voice for the parents. A lot of parents aren't being heard. You can see hundreds of them at school board meetings right now. They can't even get in the door. And now they're switching school board meetings to all virtual so that they don't have to hear from the parents. I think it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. We're the stakeholders in this district, and we need to take it back. It's our children. It's our tax money. We need to take our district back and get back to the basics.
Well, absolutely. And I agree with you. We need to reclaim education for our children. And I really have thought a lot about this because I've taken a look at this Prop 119, this LEAP initiative, this new marijuana tax for the children, and it's for after-school programs, they say, for eligible, which would be lower-income kids. First of all, I'm very concerned about people other than parents having access to the children from morning until night, basically. I think that we're taking another step towards government having our kids, you know, basically all day and into the evening. I'm very concerned about that. We would not, and they're initially couching this as it's going to help with reading, writing, arithmetic for eligible children. And if we were doing what we needed to be doing during the school day and focusing our teachers' resources and our kids on what they are supposed to be learning during the school day instead of CRT, critical race theory, and sexualizing our children, as you alluded to, through the LGBTQ Planned Parenthood agenda, but focusing on these basics, we would not even be needing to entertain an idea about the fact that if our kids are falling behind, let's fix the problem instead of putting in place something that really I think is for cronies and not really our children. So with that, I want to ask you, Renee, curriculum. CRT, where do you come down on critical race theory or any of its cousins?
So I do not support critical race theory. I think that it is incredibly damaging, not only to our kids, but also the community and society we're in. You know, I have 3 young children, and 2 of which have special needs. And the idea to tell them that they are inherently have certain character traits, they wouldn't know how to think through that other than just think that they're bad, and they have enough problems thinking about they're different and things of that nature. I don't agree with putting kids in a box. I don't agree with tearing them down to build somebody else up in a different way. It's just hurtful, and I don't approve of it in any way. And it's getting snuck in, not under, you know, health. They say they don't teach it. They put it under science or somewhere else, and it just sneaks in there. And I don't approve of that being done. And I think parents need to be able to say, that's not for my child.
Well, and I have a friend, Ashley, who her father is Black and her mother is Korean. And she gave a presentation to a number of my friends and I. And she said that critical race theory is not really, and I'm paraphrasing now the way I understand it, it's not really about healing race relations. It is about dividing, and it's about retribution. And there's nothing good that can come out of that. And I realized, and this is what is so concerning, is we all, I think we all agree with Martin Luther King Jr. that we want to live in a society where we're not judged by the color of our skin, but the content of our character. That's the ideal that we need to be working towards. Ashley, where are you on critical race theory?
I absolutely don't agree with it. This is why I'm advocating for transparency in curriculum, because they say, oh, well, we're not teaching critical race theory in schools, but that's because they call it something else.
Right.
They're not teaching the subject. They're fitting it in every other subject. It's deep indoctrination, and it's already been going on for many years. We're just now catching on. We're just now waking up to it as parents, because we used to trust our schools. And that's why I'm fighting for transparency. I want to know what our children are learning. I think every parent should know what their children are learning before they're learning it. I don't think children should be divided by the color of their skin. This just holds us back and divides us even further. It's going to get us nowhere. And I've seen it firsthand. It's been going on in Denver Public Schools for a long time. My children were in Denver Public Schools years ago. My daughter was bullied because she was white, because other children were taught that she was bad. It takes it in a completely different direction. I think, all children deserve to be loved, and they should all be loved equally. But we don't have to divide and point people out by their differences to do that.
Agreed.
You know, every child deserves. Go ahead.
Well, and you can't lift people up by tearing other people down. It just doesn't work. And so this is something that is a question on everybody's minds. Ashley, I'll ask you this first. What about the forced masking of our children? Where do you come down on that?
I was a firefighter, EMT, still a licensed EMT, and I had to take a public servant oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. And that has no expiration date. I won't support any policies that infringe on the rights of our students, on the rights of parents to parent their children and decide what's best for them medically. I understand it's important to protect community health, but there have been enough studies to show that the masks aren't doing anything to protect community health. In fact, it's hurting children socially and emotionally, especially these children with special needs, these kids on IEPs, children with speech delays. They need to be able to see people talking. Mm-hmm. The whole point of like my preschooler going to school right now is so he can see other people talking, because he has a severe speech delay. He can't see any faces
right.
At school. Is that really better for him? No. We have children who actually like the mask because they're so introverted and shy that when they wear a mask, nobody's making eye contact with them, and they like it because then they don't have to talk to anybody. That's sad. We shouldn't be covering the faces of children. I think we're going to see, some severe effects later on down the road because of this.
Okay. Thank you, Ashley Kahn. Renee Beach, what's your thoughts on this?
So masks, I personally agree with everything Ashley said. We've had long talks about it. I think what I'm trying to say about masks is I don't approve of mandates, whether it's for the masks or the upcoming probably immunizations. I want kids to be able, or parents to choose what's right for their kids. There are some kids and some parents who feel very strongly about it, but in the opposite way. But for me and my family, we don't. I think I have, like I said, two children that have special needs and speech therapy, and they're falling behind. And in all the studies that are coming out, I feel like they're finding more and more health problems that they're going to contribute to our children in the future. And I am not in support of mandates at all. I think it completely goes against our constitutional rights. And that's how I feel. But I don't want to disrespect somebody else who has the right to say they want to wear them.
Sure. And that's freedom. Yeah. That's freedom.
Yes.
Renee Beach and Ashley Kahn, thank you so much for joining us. And the third candidate in this race is Leon Thornton. And again, this is for Adams 27J. That's the Brighton School District. Renee Beach, how can people get more information about you?
Well, I have a website. It's reneefor27j.org, and they can go there. I have a Facebook page, the same, and email me anytime. I'm glad to talk to anyone who has questions for me.
Okay. And what is your final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners?
I'd just like to leave the thought that, you know, if you're looking around the school district and seeing all the problems that we're seeing, I don't think that keeping the same people doing the same stuff is going to make any changes. I think we really need some people in there who are willing to stand and make some changes. And I truly believe Leon Ashley and I are the ones to do that.
Okay, and that's Renee Beach, and Leon Thornton, and Ashley Kahn. Ashley, what's the final thought that, well, first of all, how can people get more information about you?
So I have a website as well. It's ashfor27j.org. And as far as my final thought, I think more parents should be standing up. I'm so happy to see so many parents standing up, especially in the school board races across the state. I think it's amazing. Don't stop. Don't stop fighting for the freedom for your children and your freedom to decide things for your children. I also wanted to add that Leon has a website too, and it's leonfor27j.com. He's an incredible candidate. He has amazing plans for our district as well.
Okay. Well, Renee Beach, Ashley Kahn, thank you so much for joining us. Your third candidate there is Leon Thornton. And you can go to my website, check out my voter's guide. And I do have recommended list of candidates there. And you three are on that. So Ashley Kahn and Renee Beach, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And before we go to break, all this comes to you because I have very, very good partners. And one of those is Kirsch Insurance Group. And right now is the open enrollment time, the time that you can make changes on your Medicare insurance plans for next year. And this runs from October 15th through December 7th. And it's important to go in and have just a free consultation. It doesn't cost you anything with Kirsch Insurance Group so that you can determine if there's any changes that might be coming up, and you can adjust for that. And we do realize that when you plan for success, you will be a success. So you want to plan for success with your Medicare plan for 2022. And the way to do that is through a Kirsch Insurance Group. Go to their website. That is iKirsch, iKirsch.com. That's iKirsch.com. And set up a phone appointment or a time to go in and visit with Marlon Kirsch and Danielle and Naomi, their whole team there. And again, that is Kirsch Insurance Group, iKirsch.com. We'll be right back with Alan Thomas.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who listen, who support us. I so appreciate that. We are an independent voice searching for truth and clarity. And we look at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And be sure and check out our voter's guide. We are coming in on the home stretch on this 2021 election. And there's a lot of tax questions out there. On cities and towns, I would basically be no on all of them, because the way to increase government revenue is to unleash the private economy. And when you have higher and higher taxes, it really constrains that. So be sure and check out that voter's guide at kimmunson.com. In studio with me is Alan Thomas, and he's an author, he's a speaker, and he's written a very important piece that we will be publishing this week in our newsletter, When to Call It Quits. And I can tell you've put a lot of thought into this, Alan.
I did. Yeah. And you know, in today's climate, especially with mask mandates and vaccine mandates and all of this, it's been a recurring theme of just having people arguing with each other and seemingly in circles and getting nowhere. And so I wanted to just kind of encourage people that there is a time that you need to call it quits and to enable them to say, okay, my time is better served somewhere else. So as I was preparing for this show, I was remembered about this fable I heard one time about a donkey and a tiger. And they were, you know, hanging out as most fables start, mm-hmm. right? And the donkey comes up to the tiger and he goes, the grass is blue. And the tiger says, no, the grass is green. And they get in this heated argument about what color the grass is. So finally they say, you know, we need some arbitration. We need to go to the king of the jungle. Let's go to the lion and see what he says. So before, when they show up to the court of the lion, the donkey walks in and immediately says, the grass is blue. The grass is blue. Aren't I right, lion? The lion says, yes, you're right. Go on your way. So the lion, or the donkey says, well, the tiger disagreed with me. He said the grass is green, so you need to punish him. So the lion says, well, I will punish him, but you're free to go. So the donkey goes away, and he's yelling, the grass is blue, the grass is blue. So the tiger walks up to the lion. He goes, why am I being punished? The grass is green. You and I both know it. And the lion says, yes, of course. We both know the grass is green. I'm not punishing you because of the color of the grass. I'm punishing you because you got in an argument with a stupid donkey. You're a brave, intelligent creature, and it's a waste of time arguing with that animal. And on top of that, you wasted my time to bring it to me. So, you know, the moral of the story is, you know, the worst waste of time is arguing with a fanatic and a fool who's uninterested in truth and reality and more interested in their beliefs and illusions. And the point of this article was to kind of summarize that and say, you know, our time is valuable. You know, time is the most important resource in anybody's life. It's the one thing that we can never gain more of. And there are people that are a waste of time. And especially when you're debating some of these issues, some people are so entrenched and so enamored in their beliefs and ideas that they're not even listening to you. And we need to pick which points in which people to argue with. Because if people are uninterested in even accepting or even having a debate and even opening their mind to your ideas, well, then your time is better served somewhere else. Your time is better served talking to someone else who will be receptive to these ideas. And we just need to be empowered to be able to do that, because that's difficult. You know, when you believe in freedom as much as we do, you want to make everyone believe it. You know, you really want everyone to see what a wonderful thing capitalism is, what a wonderful idea that all men and women are created equal. This is powerful. This is moving. But some people just will not be convinced. Some people will not be moved. So you need to move your time and your efforts towards people and things that will be moved by it.
It's so interesting that you would say this, because this has actually organically happened in my life. And there's this narrative out there that we're so divided, and that families and friends are divided now. And what I've realized is, as we have come to this point where we're really seeing truth for what it is. The radical activist left, all this non-freedom stuff has been percolating underneath the surface here. I mean, we take a look at how is it that an unelected, unaccountable, bureaucratic health department can close down businesses, can tell you whether or not you can go out if you have a covering over your face or not. How did we get to that? And I looked at it and I thought, well, I'm going to just go see the legislation on what it's over 1,000 pages long, and they add to it. And so that is how we got to this point. So this isn't really a question about whether or not to wear a mask or whether or not to get a vaccine. This is really a question with somebody that believes in force versus freedom. And when you realize that there's a person that they're really for force, and they have all, as you mentioned, emotion and illusion about that, I think you're right. It's probably better to just move on.
And to qualify that, you know, there are some people that believe in force for everything, like you said. They believe in force in every aspect. You know, what to teach your kids, how to live your life, how to run your business, you know, how much money should be in your bank account and how many times you should transfer it between savings and checking. Like, you're not going to get to people like that. But there are people that believe mask mandates are good, but that regulations in their small business are bad. So it's moving on from arguments that are only going to divide, moving to arguments that are more persuasive and focusing your time there. And hoping that that, like you said, percolates over to other aspects of their life. Because when you can convince them that freedom is a good thing in one aspect of their life, it's a lot easier to make that argument for the other. So I'm not saying move on from the person, unless, like you said, that mm-hmm. person is so progressive and so ingrained in their ways that you're not going to get anywhere. But maybe don't talk with your family member about masks. Maybe talk about some other freedom aspect of their life and show them these basic principles and take a step back and start with a common base and don't be divisive. Because that is part of the problem nowadays is we like to focus on what divides us as opposed to what unites us. So start with the uniting things, you know, be persuasive and move into more contentious things as you can.
Have you found, and I have actually found people, though, that I've taken the bait, if you will. And they pretty well kind of know where I stand. And then you might be at a family thing and there's this little dig. In fact, I was talking to a friend of mine whose son just got married, and part of the family is all about force. And interestingly, all the force people that have gotten the vaccine actually also came down with COVID. Go figure that one. But anyway, I guess one of the kids had gotten the vaccine, the first vaccine, and one of the force people over here just very subtly said, "Well, welcome to the human race." Well, you know, I think they just let that go. But that's not a real great thing to say at a family event.
No, it kind of reminds me of the Mark Twain quote, right? And I wrote it down. Never argue with stupid people. They will drag you down and beat you with experience. You know, you have to rise above. And you know, it's tough with comments like that. I totally get it. I've been in that. I won't sit here and say that I haven't gone down, you know, Facebook and argued for about 10, 12 comments. But, you know, when that does happen, there was a point in time where I'm like, wow, I'm 12 comments in. I've really convinced myself that I'm right. And he's really convinced himself that he's right. Where am I at the end of this?
And you've just wasted 30 minutes.
And I've just wasted 30 minutes. And what better things could I have been doing with that? Could I have been, you know, hanging out with my wife? Could I have been talking with good friends and reliable people? So I get it, but you know, on the flip side of this, I do want to qualify it. It doesn't mean that you can't state truth. You know, the lion in this little episode, he didn't get upset that the tiger stated the truth. He got upset because he argued with him. So there is a difference. I don't think you should be silent when these sorts of comments come out, and I don't think you should run away from it and be, like we said, the silent majority. No, you can absolutely state truth. You can plant that seed and say, no, this is what truth is. This is what truth looks like. The grass is green. You're wrong. But there is a point in time to where arguing over what truth actually is becomes pointless and fruitless, and you're better served doing other things.
Boy, I tell you what, I always learn so much when you're in studio. This is Alan Thomas. We're talking about his op-ed, When to Call It Quits. Let's go to break, and we'll continue the conversation when we come back. But before we go to break, on the line with me is Hal Van Herke. He and his wife, Linnea Van Herke, are the owners of Castlegate Knife and Tool, which is a fabulous knife and tool store right here in Sedalia, Colorado. They have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. And it's we're getting into Christmas is right around the corner. And we need to be thinking about that and plan ahead because of all these supply chain challenges. Are you, Hal Van Herke, are you seeing any supply chain challenges with your products?
Yeah, we've definitely seen these challenges. We sell things that are as basic as it gets. It's, you know, we sell knives, which they've been making since the dawn of time. So you would think it would be pretty easy for them to, you know, have the supply chain for a knife worked out by now. But we have some vendors that are backed up more than 2 years on orders, and we won't be seeing anything. Them, you know, order I place now, I won't see for 2 years from now. We've had others that have gone out of business because they couldn't keep up with their supply chain issues. I spend about 95% of my time right now searching to, for knives to make sure we have enough to keep the keep up with our customer demand.
And you are getting inventory in, though, as well. We don't want to make it sound like you're not having inventory, because you are getting a lot of inventory.
Yeah, we do. We work really hard at it. So, I mean, we, you know, like this week, we're getting 80 knives in from Microtech, which is our number one selling out-the-front automatic knife that we're getting in. We just got in, actually, this week. So we have... we're always getting stuff in every day, but it's a struggle, and it's amazing to me as I'm talking to people about how hard it is for them to find some of the basic parts that they need. Because and then every time when you trace it back, it's because something that is made in that product that they weren't aware of, or something that is made for a to keep a machine running that they use to make that product goes back to Asia. And it's either, and because of global demand, it's sitting, it's either not available or it's sitting on a ship off the coast waiting to, you know, to come in. So,
which these supply chain issues, I think, are government induced. But I would highly recommend people plan ahead. That's what we're having to do right now, is just plan ahead. So be sure and check out CastleGate.com. CastleGate.com, great website, but also would recommend people come down and visit you, Hal Van Herke, right there in Sedalia, Colorado. I so appreciate your sponsorship of both the shows, Hal.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back with Alan Thomas.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3. Here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And check out our voter's guide, which is at my website. We've given you all the background information on all of these statewide issues. On Amendment 78, we're a hold our nose yes on that now. On Prop 120, we're a hold our nose yes on that. We're a strong no on 119, which is that new marijuana tax for the children. And then these local tax increases, I've gone through the one in my city of Lone Tree. It's a 55% increase in the retail tax rate. We're a strong no on that as well. And then we do have school board candidate recommendations on that. In studio with me is Alan Thomas. He's an author. He's a speaker. And he's written a very important piece, When to Call It Quits. And this fable that you shared in the previous segment, I'll probably be thinking about that for quite some time, regarding the donkey and the tiger and the lion. And also the fact that you mentioned, and my dad always said, you have just a certain amount of hours in the day. You have to choose what you're going to do with those hours. You'll never get them back. And so you have to choose wisely. And I think that's kind of something what you're saying here, Alan.
Right, exactly. And you know, we kind of talked about how you've organically learned this through life. And I think as a society, we're starting to. And, you know, the school board race is an excellent picture of this. You know, we've had parents go up to the school boards now for well over the past couple of years, just begging them to listen to them, just begging them to, hey, you know, I'm responsible for the education of my kid. Please don't teach my kid these things. Don't over-sexualize my kid. Don't do this. And the school boards aren't listening. So what's happening? Well, they're deciding that, you know what, instead of just talking to the school board and trying to persuade them, they're obviously not listening to me. What I'm going to do instead is I'm going to run for school board, or I'm going to make sure that these candidates that will listen to me are put into the school school board, and that's important. That kind of comes with a very focused mission focus. Instead of trying to persuade everybody, hey, where can I best spend my time? And we're really starting to see in these local school boards, the best use of my time isn't trying to convince the school board to do something different. It's to run myself, or it's to talk to other parents and say, hey, look, this school board candidate will actually do the job that you want to do for your kids. So it's learning when to kind of walk away and say, you know what, it is okay to walk away, and it is okay to focus my time somewhere else. And we need to do that not only in these sorts of issues, but all throughout our life. I mean, this really applies to more than just politics. It's learning, you know, where best to focus your time. And there's another, you know, saying in the business world, you know, 80% of your money comes from, you know, the 20% of your products. So focus on the 20% that you're actually selling. Don't focus on all the gadgets that distract you from what your mission actually is. So just having that very targeted focus on what you need to be doing, and knowing that nobody can convince everybody of something. We're all human. We're going to disagree about things. That is to be human. But to go to where minds are fertile, and where people will actually be respectable and actually not attack your character and who you are as a person just because of the beliefs or principles and ideas that you have.
Okay, Alan Thomas, as you're talking, I have a question for you then. We've all had conversations, and you mentioned something is to always, you know, search for truth. But have you ever been in a conversation with someone and you've made your point, and you've made your point and it's truth, and then they just go, yeah, we'll just agree to disagree? What do you think about that?
I've said that as well. I've said, you know what, I think we're just going to have to disagree on this. And, you know, the way to think about it, I'm a Christian, so I've heard some of these talks, is sometimes you're just planting seeds and you may never see them grow. You know, they may disagree with you now, but you've planted that idea in their head. You know, hopefully they're thinking about these things and they're willing to actually think about what you said. And they may disagree now, but 10 years down the line, 2 years down the line, maybe even next week, they may go, huh, you know, Alan said something, or Kim brought this up. You know, that's kind of interesting. Maybe I want to go back and talk to them. Maybe somebody else will say something. But, you know, truth is truth, and it's absolute. So truth will be known at some point in time. So just plant the seeds, and there is times to say, you know what, we may both disagree. Let's agree to disagree, but at least you kept it reasonable. At least you called the argument before you said things you were going to truly regret.
Right.
And that's really the point. You want to get out of these conversations and these arguments before you're both just attacking each other and dissolving a friendship. And that's the saddest thing these past couple of years, is to see friendships and family members just abandon each other. Like, that's not healthy. That's not right either. Don't abandon people because of their beliefs, but stand up for yours. And at times you are going to just have to say, you know what, we disagree. Let's move on to something else. Let's talk about baseball and weather or Friday night football.
Boy, you are, you're wise. You know what, you're young and you're wise, because as I look back over my experience, there have been times that I've let it get to that next step and have said things that then I have to, you know, think, gosh, I wish I hadn't been quite so harsh or that. And we've moved into a lot of that. I've actually gotten better on that. But this is really great advice, I think, for people out there. And you walk away from that, you know the grass is green, but you're not going to argue about it anymore.
Well, and it's tough. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm perfect or that this hasn't been. I'm very much a people pleaser. So, you know, this is a lesson learned that I've had to go through. And it, like all things in life, it's kind of like a muscle. You have to practice it. You know, there's going to be times where you're like, man, I should have just walked away. And it's having the self-awareness to learn from your mistakes and to say, you know what, that was a time where I could have walked away, or that was a time where I did waste my time. So maybe next time I'm going to, you know, allow myself to say enough is enough. I'm going to walk away.
And well, I think there's really good advice in that. So we've had probably about 3 minutes left. How do you want to button this whole thing up for people?
You know, I guess as we've talked about this, it's just try not to be divisive. You know, have some courtesy with your remarks. You know, it's really easy when you're when you're arguing with somebody, especially on Facebook, when it's so impersonal, you know, and we've had, as a society, we've taken that step away from real friendships and hanging out in person and having these conversations face to face, and we've substituted it with, you know, keyboard warriors. Mm-hmm. And it's really difficult, you know, especially when you're having these sorts of arguments and debates through text messages or through emails or Facebook or Instagram. As we've all known, it's tough to put tone and voice into mm-hmm. somebody else's words. And it's really easy to see them as attacking you when in all reality they may not. So I would also just encourage a lot of people, you know, for some of these types of arguments, the best forum sometimes isn't Facebook. Mm-hmm. You know, meet up with them and say, hey, let's grab a coffee. Let's talk about these things. I'd really like to, because it is easy to read somebody's comments, especially when they disagree with you, and to read anger into them, to read malice where there may or may not be some. So I would just encourage, the best way to persuade somebody isn't to walk up to them, thump them on the back of the head and say, you're wrong. You know, here's truth. You're a liar. You've been spreading lies. You know, be persuasive, be nice, be respectable, even if they aren't, you know, and I'm sure you've had this conversation with random people at the grocery store when they're like, you hate your grandma, you don't have a mask on. You know, it just because they're responding to you in anger and malice doesn't mean you have to respond that way. Right. So rise above it. You know, our founding fathers talked a lot about this, to use reason as opposed to passion. So don't let your emotions rule your argument. Really come back and try and practice that stoicism to really come back and ground yourself and say, no, I'm trying to be reasonable here. I'm trying to discuss science and logic with you. So let's take a step back from these passions that the progressives like to inflame in us and divide us. And let's be reasonable to one another, and let's be kind and neighborly.
Great advice from Alan Thomas. His piece is going to be in our newsletter this weekend, and then it'll be on the website. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks again, Kim.
And our quote is Kenny Rogers. He said, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There will be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. And I-